Great. So yesterday we talked about habits and how the light of Hanukkah can help us become more conscious about our habits and free us up to be able to make the choice to change and to get out of those bad habits and to develop good habits and new habits. Hand in hand with this idea is the concept of intentionality, about being more intentional in our lives and not operating on autopilot. Just as many times when we're caught in habits that we really aren't even aware of what we're doing, we're not really intentional in thinking about what we're doing. So similarly, this concept of intentionality is very important and helpful in terms of living a more conscious life and really thinking about what we want. So let's explore how the lesson of Chanukah teaches us about relationships and this need for intentionality. So on Chanukah, every day of Chanukah, there is a special Torah reading that we read in the synagogue after the morning, during the morning prayers. And that's the story of another Chanukah. It's called Chanukah HaMizbeach. It's the inauguration of the Mishkan. The Mishkan was the tabernacle that was used in the desert after Jewish people left Egypt when they were traveling to Israel, the land of Israel. And this was a precursor for the Holy Temple that would be later built in Jerusalem. The Mishkan was the dwelling place for God on this world. The word Mishkan is the same letters, the same Hebrew letters as the word Shechina, which is God's dwelling place, God's presence, sorry, God's presence. And that the Mishkan is the housing, the place that housed the Shechina, that housed the divine presence on earth. So our rabbis actually teach us that the Mishkan was completed on the 25th of Kislev, which is the first day of, as we know, is the first day of Chanukah. However, God just wanted to push off that inauguration to the spring, to the first of Nisan, a few weeks before Passover. But he promised the 25th of Kislev, or the day which Hanukkah currently falls on, that he would pay that day back with another inauguration. And that wound up being the rededication of the Second Temple. So Hanukkah was really destined, the inauguration of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, was actually was really supposed to happen on the 25th of Kislev, but it was pushed off, and in its stead we have the Hanukkah rededication of the Second Temple many years later. So we see from here that there's definitely a connection between the Mishkan and Hanukkah. Besides the fact they're both the rededication or the initial dedication of the tabernacle and the rededication of the temple, but there's definitely something, there's more than just that's connected. So just as the Mishkan was a vessel through which we would bring the divine presence, the Shekhinah, down to the physical world, Chanukah represents bringing that spiritual light down to the lowest and the darkest places. And we're going to be sending out an article for, because we will not have a live class on Friday and for on Shabbos Saturday, we're going to be sending out two articles, and one of them explains a lot more in detail about why Hanukkah, what the purpose of Hanukkah, the light of Hanukkah, illuminating the darkness, and why there's certain laws about lighting Hanukkah candles that reflect that concept that Hanukkah's bringing light to the darkest places. But for our purposes, one of those laws is that we're supposed to light the Hanukkah candles less than 10 tefachim, less than 10 handbreadths, which is about 36, 40 inches. So we're supposed to light them, you're not supposed to light them on the ground, but you're supposed to light them between 3 handbreadths and 10 handbreadths. So it's about between 1 foot and about 30 to 40 inches. So why? It's why specifically in that place? Why can't we light them higher? So we're taught in the Talmud teaches that the divine presence never descended below 10 handbreadths. That in the actual tabernacle on the, where the divine presence and in the Holy Temple, when the divine presence descended on top of the Ark of the Covenant, it never went below those 10 handbreadths because that's how high the Ark was. However, on Chanukah, the divine light, the present, divine presence goes below that, because it even goes to even a darker and a lower place. That light is so powerful that it can shine even in the lowest places. So we see there's a theme of the divine presence dwelling in Hanukkah in the lowest and darkest places, and also the Mishkan being a housing for the Shekhinah, for the divine presence in the physical world. So just as we see that the Mishkan, the Tabernacle, and Hanukkah teach us about bringing the spiritual and infusing the physical world with spirituality, marriage has the same power. We're taught in the Talmud that if a husband and wife are meritorious, they can have the Shekhinah, the same divine presence that's dwelling in the Tabernacle with the Hanukkah candles, can dwell between them, the husband and wife. And we see that because the word for man in Hebrew is ish, and the word for a woman in Hebrew is isha. So if you spell ish and isha, ish is aleph yud shin, and isha is aleph shin hey. If you take out God's name, which one of God's names is the letter yud and the letter hey, that the man has the letter yud in his name, which is ish, which is God's name, and the woman has the letter hey, isha, the last letter of isha. If you take those two letters out, meaning you remove God from the relationship, you have each partner is left with the word esh. Esh means fire. So if a husband and wife are meritorious, they have the divine presence dwelling amidst, in their midst. And if not, fire dwells within them. Meaning conflict occurs in the relationship. There's negative energy in that space. And what we're trying to do in a relationship is to create a place where God can dwell, to have that space in between where God can rest. But we can only do that through working on the relationship. The word to merit also means to refine, that in order for us, it's not just something that we just get lucky that the divine presence dwells, but we actually have to refine ourselves, refine our character, and work on the relationship to be able to create that place where God can dwell. Then, actually, the tabernacle itself hints to this, because on top of the Ark of the Covenant, there were two angels, two baby angels called the two cherubs, the Keruvim. One looked like one had the face of a boy, one had the face of a girl. And that in between the Keruvim is actually where the divine presence would come down, so to speak. Obviously, it wasn't a physical form, but in a spiritual level, that's where it rested. So we see that the relationship between a husband and wife, it's an incredible opportunity for holiness to dwell, for God to dwell. But there is a unique challenge with any holy endeavor, and especially in a marriage, that because we're taught that whenever we have something very holy, we need to have spiritual protection from destructive forces which may want to defile, may want to get in the way. We see this with marriages. They have such potential to be holy, but there's so many distractions that get in the way. There's so much negativity that can get in the way and can really destroy a relationship and help us kind of forget about the whole purpose of why we came together. So going back to the Mishkan, we're going to see about what we can do to actually help protect those destructive forces and how we can apply that in our relationships, this teaching. So the Midrash teaches that after Moses finished building the tabernacle, he gave the Jewish people a blessing. And he did so by reciting Psalm 91. And in Psalm 91, the specific verse says that God's presence should dwell in our handiwork. They gave him the blessing that God's presence should dwell in the handiwork. You just built the Mishkan, Jewish people. I want to make sure that God's presence should dwell among all the work that you've done. Why do we need to do this? The Talmud comments that this psalm provides special spiritual protection from destructive forces that wish to defile what is sacred. Whenever we're engaging in a holy undertaking, there's always this possibility of outside interference. So when we're building this place for the divine presence to dwell, it's imperative to be able to protect that holy place and to make sure that there's no interference. There's nothing that's getting in the way. So that's why Moses recited that prayer and gave that blessing. It's an interesting parallel that we see, that as we've already talked about the parallel between the tabernacle and Hanukkah, that there is a custom among Hasidim of the Hasidic Jews to recite this same psalm, Psalm 91, seven times immediately following the lighting of the menorah. There's also custom among all Jews to recite this psalm Saturday night after the Sabbath is over and we're entering a new week, because we're bringing the light into a place that's susceptible to this interference. So we want to ask God to provide us with divine assistance. Sometimes before people do a mitzvah, they actually have a custom of reciting that verse, that God's presence should dwell on their handiwork, because we want to have this assistance. We're about to do something holy. We're about to embark on a holy endeavor, and we want God's assistance to make sure that everything stays connected and there's no interference. So how does this apply to us in a relationship? As we said, a marriage has the potential to hold such holiness, but there are a lot of distractions that often get in the way in the relationship. I found that one of the things that helps us become more intentional is to start thinking about, before we have any conversation in a relationship with our spouse, thinking about, what's the purpose of this? Am I sharing this feeling, this frustration, because I want to connect, or because I'm upset and I want to just, you know, get back at my spouse? Ultimately, our goal is to connect. And it's important for us to think about that even if we're upset about something, we want to connect. How can we do it in a way that brings about connection? How can we be intentional? One of the things I teach couples is to make appointments, to actually ask your spouse if they're available to talk at that time. So you would say, are you available to talk about something? Is now a good time? If now is not a good time, you make a rain check. But the point is that you're checking in, you're being intentional. You're showing that you want to discuss something, but you're not just kind of unleashing it. You're taking the time to respect your spouse as an other and to respect the fact that it might not be a good time for them. And you're also setting them up for success, because ultimately, if you're bringing up a difficult topic, you want a good resolution. Even if you don't have the lofty ideal of connecting, at least maybe you want them to change, to do something differently. So yelling and screaming is not going to help. So always thinking about, before I have that interaction, before I have that connection, becoming intentional. Whether it's, some people can help them to say, saying a prayer, saying this psalm, but just thinking about the fact that I want to connect. I'm trying to be intentional, and having that in mind, just taking a few moments. The connection that, when I work with couples, we learn the couple's dialogue, and it's an opportunity for them to talk and really sit with each other and really be connected with each other. And before that, they always make an appointment and see if now's a good time. But a lot of times I just give them a moment to just to take some silence, to really be present, really to just show up and make sure they're fully there. And that allows you to shift and become more intentional. And the interaction is different. And it helps us remove all that internal chatter, because it's very hard sometimes to be focused on our partner and to listen carefully. So sometimes, like, I give the image of when you're listening to your partner, that you're really taking a moment to leave your world behind and crossing into the world of the other, cross over the bridge, really be present to hear where your spouse is coming from. And it just gives you an opportunity to shift your focus and to be intentional and to turn off that chatter. And even when you're hearing something that's difficult, when couples repeat back what the other's saying instead of responding, mirroring back, it allows them to keep the interaction holy. Because when we start reacting and we start bringing in the negativity, it destroys that moment for connection. So again, we want to work on becoming more intentional and using whatever it takes for us to do that. Whether it's just taking a few moments to think about what we're doing, whether it's to ask for an appointment, what even to mirror back, to repeat back what the other person is saying instead of interjecting, it allows us to realize, what is our purpose for this interaction? Are we doing this to connect, or are we doing this to, to hurt our spouse? And ultimately, we don't want to hurt our spouse, but if we're hurt, sometimes our instinct is to hurt back, because we want to protect ourselves. So I want to just take a few moments to summarize and also to see if anyone has questions. Some of you are listening live. I know a lot of you are also listening via recording because you're not able to make it this time. So you can feel free to email questions. Just one more, before I summarize, I just want to tell you kind of housekeeping. We're going to be sending out an email with two written articles for Friday and Saturday's session, for Shabbos' session, instead of a live class. One of them is going to be talking about, as we mentioned, about Hanukkah bringing the dark light into the darkness and how that applies to us on a personal level. And the other one is going to be talking about sealing the exits, sealing the breaches in your relationship that might be draining the energy. So we're going to talk about that. And then on Sunday, we'll be back to our live class at 12:30 at the same link here. And that's going to be talking about how to infuse more positivity into your relationship and how we learn that lesson from the Hanukkah candles. And then, of course, Monday, we'll be meeting for our last class and discussing more about personal transformation and living a more miraculous life. So summarizing what we talked about today, we talked about intentionality, the importance of intentionality in a relationship. We talked about the connection between Hanukkah and the building of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, that originally the 25th of Kislev, the day of Hanukkah, was the day when the tabernacle was completed and was supposed to be inaugurated, but it was pushed off into another month until Nisan. But on Hanukkah, we still read the story of the inauguration of the tabernacle because that's when it was supposed to originally happen. We share the similarity between the two, besides the fact that they both, Hanukkah was the rededication of the second temple, and the tabernacle, which was the precursor to the holy temple, was completed on the 25th of Kislev, on the day of Hanukkah. We also said, though, that they're both vessels for bringing down the divine light to the physical world. The Mishkan was a place where the Shekhinah, the divine presence, dwelled. Hanukkah is bringing down the light to the darkest levels. We also said that marriage is similar, that if a man and woman merit it, they can have the divine presence dwelling among them. And that on the tabernacle itself, you had the two cherubs with a female and male, where the divine light, the divine presence would shine. We said the principle that if anytime we have something very holy, we need spiritual protection, special protection from the destructive forces which may seek to defile it. And we said that that's why Moses blessed the Jewish people with Psalm 91, that God's presence should dwell in their handiwork. And that psalm is a special psalm for spiritual protection. And we also mentioned that Hanukkah, there is a custom after lighting the Hanukkah candles to say that very psalm seven times. So as we're drawing that light down into this world, we want to protect it. And we talked about how do you protect the light in a marriage? How do you tune out that internal chatter that makes it difficult for us to be intentional to listen? We talked about just taking some time to think before you actually speak to your spouse, taking some time to make an appointment to ask if your spouse is available, and taking time to reflect back what your spouse is saying, to mirror back, repeat back what they said as opposed to react. And the more we can think about that, our whole life can be different. If we live an intentional life, we start thinking about, what is it that I want to do? Is this good for the good of the relationship or not? There's the famous story that a convert came to Hillel and said, please teach me this Torah on one foot. So he said, you know, how do I distill the Torah into one ingredient? So he says, that which is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. That which is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. That's the, you know, the essence of the Torah, and now it's, and everything else is a commentary on that, and you need to go and learn it. So the Rabbi Dov Ber of Mezrich, one of the Hasidic masters, explains that it's a play on words. Instead of that which is hated to your friend, he said that which is hated to your connection. This word for friend and connection is the same in Hebrew. That which is hateful to your connection, don't do. Meaning, in every interaction that you have with, is this going to bring me closer? Is it going to bring me more connected to God or less connected? Is this going to bring me more connected to my spouse or less connected? Just having that in mind, and that's living a life of intentionality, really thinking, everything I do, is this going to bring us closer? And when you start thinking of that, you start thinking, okay, what can I do to bring us closer? And you start living a more intentional life. So we merit to have the opportunity this Hanukkah to be more intentional, to be more aware of this. And even if we're not always intentional and sometimes we get reactive, but even if we have a little bit more of this in our life, it will make a huge difference. So again, if anyone has any questions or comments about our class today, please email us at info@themarriagerestorationproject.com. We will be sending out a recording, and we will send out some of the written articles for Friday and Shabbos' class, and we'll resume live on Sunday. Take care and happy Hanukkah.